Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Dorothy and the Dealer. Mm-hmm. Beers and business. I love these sessions.
I'm actually drinking coconut water today, not beers.
Yeah, okay. Because you just came back from leave. That's why. You had a couple of weeks off where you're probably having a fair number of beers.
I had a couple of beers. I had a couple of beers. I am partial to the odd beer when I'm away on holidays.
One or two.
Look, I'd probably do two or three a night for about three or four nights in a row. Then I have to stop for 2 days and then I'll...
And then hop on your mountain bike and go screaming down a hill.
Screaming down a hill. I did a bit of mountain biking, did a bit of jet skiing as well. So we got a new jet ski, which was, they're crazy. They're called a jet ski for a reason, because going across the water, they're like, they just fly.
They're way faster when you're on it as well. You watch and you're like, meh. Yeah. And then when you're on it, you're like, and you're hitting the waves and you're just like bouncing through the air.
Yeah. Love it.
Great fun.
So what's going on?
What's our topic today? What are we talking about?
Look, one of the things I think I'd like to bring up is, this one kind of bothers me, so I'll probably get a bit ranty around it, but it's like that focus on the short term versus the long term, and particularly when it comes to revenue in your business, because people see the sale as like the thing that happens in the moment.
Yep.
And like the sale often, like in terms of long-term sales, they happen over months, and it's like holding that relationship for a period of time.
Yeah.
And people that get excited or disappointed, like if we're talking about beers, right? You'll either go out and you'll have four sales in the night and you'll either celebrate with a beer or you'll get rid of your disappointment with a beer. But I'm like, there's like all this. I was talking to a client and they'd worked really hard and they built this online webinar and they called me up. They were really disappointed. They're like, oh, I got like 200 people into, you know, my webinar. Mm. And I was like, okay, great. And they're like, but only four people bought.
Right.
And she was really disappointed. I'm like, okay, great. And she was like, so I guess what I'll do with the four is I'll just refund their money because that's not enough to run the next section. I'm like, what are you doing? And she goes, what do you mean? I'm like, what are you doing with the 196? And she goes, like, what 196? I'm like, the 196 who are interested, but either because of timing or because of money or because it just wasn't the right offer, aren't ready to buy now. Like, what are you going to do with them? She goes, I hadn't really thought about it. I just thought they weren't interested. Mm. I'm like, the wealth is in the 196, not the four. You'll make a bit of money off the four, but the wealth of your business is in the 196. Mm-hmm. It's those people were genuinely interested and will buy from somebody some point in the near future.
Well, I think the first thing is that people think that money and wealth are the same thing. So I think that we need to clarify that for people.
Money and wealth are mutually exclusive, as the great Buckminster Fuller said, and they are absolutely mutually exclusive. They are not the same thing. Wealth is a byproduct of doing what you love, and wealth is measured by your contribution to life and your vision for what you contribute, and the amount of wealth you have is dependent on the depth of the vision that you have around what it is you want to do.
Yeah, so if I focus on this particular client, right, just based on that, the fact that she was focused only on the people that handed the credit card at that point in time showed that she didn't see the wealth in what she was actually delivering for the 200 that they were interested in and that they're probably still interested in. That's the other side of this, right, is I think when you focus on the money in the short term, the sale, one of the things you think is you have to convince somebody to buy. I don't have to convince somebody to become a customer of my service. They're going to buy at some point from me because there's a need in the marketplace for that.
That's right.
What they're really trying to determine is who is the most valuable person in which to buy it from. I don't have to convince them to buy. I have to convince them I'm the most valuable version of that on the marketplace.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, then you see, naturally, you'll see that the wealth really is in the 200, not in the four.
Yeah. And valuable, you know, it's value and you're able to deliver it, you know, valuable. So I think that you have to be able to communicate that, and it's a longer game. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to play the long game. People just want the short game, the quick fix, the quick money. If I get 200 people in, will I sell 30% of the room? Blah 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 blah. They don't realize that whoever buys at that point in time, it's fine. That's great. You've done good to get that to happen. But what is your game afterwards? How are you meeting the need of the person that has come into the room, that has looked at your product? I mean, they gave you an hour of your time, an hour of their time. That's fucking expensive to them, I can guarantee you. So how are you meeting the need of that person afterwards? How are you communicating with them? What is your on? And, you know, it kind of gets into touch points as well now. Like, people need lots of touch points now before they will make a choice to actually go at you, you know?
It is. Like, there was stats done. I mean, the stats were from quite some time ago. But at one point, it was like 1 in 4 touch points, and you would initiate some level of buying. And now I think the stat's closer to like 1 in 19.
Right.
So it's like it's becoming way more expensive to traditionally advertise, and you're getting way less result as a result. So you've got to kind of find a new way. Like, we're no longer in an information society. Mm. So, you know, giving people information is no longer valuable. They can find that anywhere.
Yeah.
You've got to find a way to get their attention, and you've got to be the thing they're interested in. The other thing is, as I get more and more media channels and more things vying for my time, one of the things is, who remembers, like, when you had the TV and you'd be watching a thing, and, like, I know Netflix doesn't do this anymore, but who's old enough like me to remember where you're watching the free-to-air TV, and just as you're at the exciting bit of the movie, it ended and went, and there was, like, 3 or 4 ads, and then it came back to the movie, and you'd just be like, fuck.
Yeah.
And you'd sit there, and but you expected it, because you're watching on free-to-air, it's normal, and you weren't happy with it, but it was just kind of...
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Like, even when it pops up on YouTube, you can just skip it after 3 seconds.
Well, that used to shit me, you know? Like even with YouTube, I got to play a song, and then before they'll play the song, they'll play, like, 4 or 5 ads. And all the guys say to me all the time, for fuck's sake, just buy the premium. And I'm like, no, I don't want to buy premium. But and then they put these ads on, and I just think to myself, I will not buy your product because of that ad.
You know, because it's interrupting you.
Yeah.
Because it's interrupting what you're there to do. Now, there's occasionally where an ad pops up where it entertains me, and I remember the ad.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like it interrupted me. Mm. I feel like it was part of the flow. So there was one that I remember, and I'm kind of into business, so this will show my businessy bit, is I'm on Facebook, and it's this guy, you might have seen it, it's a guy, and he's just sitting in a lawn chair saying advertising doesn't work, and he's got a big placard.
Yeah.
And then there's this guy that walks up that's got, like, advertising on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he, like, kicks over the guy in the chair, and he's and the guy stands up and goes, prove me wrong. And I'm like, wow, that totally got my attention.
But even on television, it used to shit me. But, you know, there were catchy ads that were good, you know? Like, there was one for W.I. Salvage. Come into W.I. Salvage and save it a money, you know? And it was just that tagline, you know? They made, like, Ricky Gervais made millions just on taglines. You know, shows about taglines. But it was just that tagline, you know? So when something's catchy and funny and it, and, you know, in some cases it even annoys you, you know, you remember it because it fucking annoys you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the tagline, even the taglines, it used to be like the product benefit, right? It's like, oh, come to us because, you know, like with those types of things, it was always like we're going at a business sit. Like, I remember there's this place called Leon's in North America. I mean, those fuckers are going out of business every month.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like, and you just, like, it came up when it was a tagline, cheapest prices, buy, buy, buy. They would say it like 4 or 5 times in the ad. And it just doesn't work anymore. So, it, like, there's so much of that stuff that I'm like, you have to come up with a big promise. You've got to you've got to find a way where you're going to be entertaining in ways that I'm going to get my attention. Then when you do, make me a promise that sounds exciting. Like, we did a webinar, like, a while back, and I was, like, describing a movie. I was like, oh, there's this action movie coming out. And, you know, somebody steals a purse, and it's not really hard because they see the guy, and they got a picture of him. So they go, and they find out where he lives, and they knock on the door, and they catch the guy, and they walk it out.
Right.
Right. And it was like, that's the whole movie. Would you go see that movie? And it's like, that'd be boring as fuck because you know what's going on. It's like an average day. I'm like, that's most people's business. Most people's business is like, I'm an accountant and I'll help file your BAS.
Yeah.
Like, how fucking boring is that? Yeah. Make me a promise. What do you really do? Make me something that stands out.
Yeah.
You know, think like a movie. Like, get something that almost feels impossible to me that you know you can deliver and really promise that. That's so, how you're going to get my attention.
So do you think that the people, like, the people that have them, like in the example that you gave with the webinar and the 4 sales only, right, and not seeing the wealth in the 196, is why is that? Why does that happen? Because what is this person doing? Are they not seeing, have they not grabbed their attention? Is that what you're saying?
There's possibly 3 things. So one of the things in business you have to realize, if you get somebody's attention, you're close to the dartboard, mm-hmm. right? But then what you have to do is you have to go investigate that, because that is a result. People see, like, I didn't get the result I wanted, so I failed at it. But no, but you didn't.
Because you got 200 people interested.
So you have to go in and really look and go, what really was the problem? Was it that my offer wasn't right? Was my offer too general? Was it just not exciting enough to get more people interested? Is it that I didn't pitch it at the right audience? Is it the fact that I didn't have enough touch points? Is it the fact that my promise wasn't big enough? Was it the fact that the way in which I structured it, for instance, one of the things was with the webinar is they were pitching it around the world, but the webinar was Australia time, which would have been a very small portion of the group. So it's like, free webinar. Do I want to wake up at 3 a.m. to watch a free webinar?
Yeah.
Not likely. Right. So it could have been in terms of the timing, but you have to really go in and go, look, I succeeded in getting 200. Only 4 made it to the end of the funnel. What were all the touch points and where did they fall off and why? You know, it could also be that that person, the reason they focused on the 4 is they didn't feel certain themselves. Mm. In fact, in this case, that's what they were. They weren't certain what they could deliver. And so the 4 kind of let them off the hook as well. Sure. So they weren't really willing to go back and see. They just assumed that the 196 saw through the charade and saw what they were feeling themselves. Like, hey, this person can't do it. And so it gave them a reason to believe that. But the truth is that's just not true right there, right? So you've just got to go find the truth.
I think that, you know, I remember when I was studying sales that there's 27 touch points you must cover that answers every single question for the person that's in your audience.
Closes off all the objections.
Off all the objections, like where is it, what time is it, how much does it cost, will you be running it, will anybody else be running it? That, so there's questions that people ask when they're in doing that, right? And if you knew how that worked, you know, you're guaranteed a close rate, a high close rate, right? But it's pointless learning that stuff if you don't know that what your product is going to bring is going to deliver great value on and on and on and on and on for a person. So you kind of have an obligation to be able, if you're pulling 200 people into a room, to be able to have a longer term view for your product and service and how it is of service to people. Does that make sense? Because you could learn how to do that and you could literally sell fucking ice to an Eskimo. You could sell sand to an Arab. It wouldn't fucking matter. Does that make sense? Because as long as you answer all those questions, your portion of that audience is going to buy. But if you don't believe in what you're doing, if it's just, hey, I've made this quick gimmick, I'm going to see if I can get 200 people in the room and I can close 30%, and hey, you know. But it has to be, okay, what's the first product? Then where do they roll into next? Then where do they roll into
I think it starts with the promise. It's a promise you know you can deliver. Mm. And you can deliver it in a number of ways. Like you've got to start, what is that big promise? Mm. There's a guy named Chet Holmes. He was the guy that was behind Charlie Munger's business and Warren Buffett's business. Mm-hmm. And he grew, what he became famous for is he grew multiple divisions within it, you know, 100% year on year on year on year. And one of the things he said is that if you make a big promise and people enter the room, right, meaning they've engaged yeah.
you,
he said 70% of that audience, 70% are buyers. There's 30% that'll just be like, I'm interested in the information, but I'll never be a buyer. I'll do it myself, or I know somebody else who does it, and I'm just looking for more. He said, but 70% of that audience are buyers. So really, when you get 200 people in the room, like if I get 200 people in the room, then 140 of them technically are buyers. They might not have bought in that moment.
Yeah.
But they are buyers. So like, what am I doing with them? They're interested in the promise I made.
Yeah.
Whatever the promise was that I made. And, you know, he had this gimmick when he would do a talk where he would just basically take anybody's product in the service and go, what are you selling? And you go, I sell inspiration. You go, okay, who's interested? Hands up. Who's interested right now, today, currently shopping for a place to be inspired or coaching or whatever.
Yeah.
And 3 to 7 to 10% of the room would raise their hand, no matter what he put up.
Right.
Right. And he would just go through and he'd go, look, see, there's 3 to 7% they're buying now. Who would be interested in buying in the next 3 months? You know, and then another percentage of the room.
Right.
And then you go, what does it really do? And then you get them to give like the big thing, like why do you inspire people? Oh, I help them get control of my money per se. That's something we do, right? You go, who's interested in getting control of their money? And then like, you know, half the room's got their hand up in the air.
Yeah.
And no matter what product he did, he would always show that.
Right.
Whether you were selling bread, whether you're selling cars, whether you're selling houses, he could show that dynamic in every room. The funny thing is when you really get up to the ultimate needs of people, there's not that many.
Yeah.
You know, you want to feel significant. You want to feel connected. You want to feel surprised, variety, excited.
Yeah.
You want to feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, when you really get to the top, there's actually not that many things you want. Mm. There's many ways to do it, but there's not that much you want. So like that whole idea of this triangle going up and getting broader as you go further and further in terms of value is absolutely true.
Yeah.
So what is it that is, why do people focus just on the sale then? What is it going on for the person that they just focus on the sale?
They're not prizing the right thing in the relationship. They're prizing the money in the relationship or the customer in the relationship. They're not prizing what it is they do or what they can deliver.
Do you know, I think that's a big, big issue for so many people, so many businesses, people in general. I mean, that's why we work with people's mindset, to understand that at the end of the day, you are the most important person. But then when we're working in a business, we're always talking to them about, actually, it's not the client that's more important or the business or the product or anything else, that you're the most important. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is getting that you it's you that brings the value. Like, there's lots of other places that maybe you could go and get some of the things you're providing, but you're not going to get the outcome that you're looking for with anybody other than me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got to totally, totally believe that you're the most valuable thing, or your business or your system or your product is the most valuable thing in this line.
Yeah.
Right? If you think the customer is the most valuable thing, and people do that all the time, don't they? You go like, what's the most valuable thing? And majority of the time, you're going to get my customer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, that's actually incorrect. And it's one of those things that kind of shits me off, because it's been in the literature for years and years and years, and it fucks businesses over all the time.
Well, it's a fable. I mean, it's never really ever... It was true perhaps for a time period, but the problem was is that that time period just never ended. People still think that the customer is number one.
I don't even know if it's ever been true, like, because the customer wouldn't tell you that, would they? If I've got a problem, is the customer going to go, yeah, I'm the most valuable thing here?
Well, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, no, but like,
yes,
you might have said it to get leverage or something like that in a relationship. But really think about it. If I've got the problem, is the most valuable thing in that relationship the problem or the solution?
Well, it's obviously the solution.
Yeah. So you might be saying it to get leverage over somebody else. But deep down in your heart, the problem was not more valuable than the solution.
Yeah. No, of course not. No, of course not. But I mean, I've done it in restaurants. I've done it in businesses. I've done it where they've given me bad customer service and I've gone, let me tell
you. So you've taken advantage of the fable is what you're telling me.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. To get my point across. Yeah, absolutely. And but the truth is that that's not the case. So I think it's important for people to understand that when people are coming to invest in your business, they're investing in you and your energy in that business and your characteristics in that business and your you know, what magic you bring there. They want to buy your magic. So it's important for you to make it magic for people to want to buy.
And I think that's kind of clear. Like, that's something I could sit down with in any business, right, that was struggling, and we could totally do that.
Yeah.
Right? We could sit down and go, what is the thing you think the customer is here? I promise you it's not – you're not there to get food.
Yeah.
Right? You're not there to, you know, have a social event. You're there to meet an objective, solve a problem, or fulfill a promise.
Right.
Right. So you're going to go like, wow, that's something I definitely desire. So it's either a big promise, it's solve a problem.
Yeah.
Or there's an objective. There's a reason I'm there. Like, you know, I show up the gym. I don't show up the gym so I can do a gym class. I show up the gym because I want to get fit.
Yeah.
I show up the gym because I want to be toned.
Yeah.
Or I show up at the gym to solve this health problem I've got. Mm-hmm. Or I show up the gym because there's this body of a Greek god that, you know, I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah.
It is those things. And when a business really gets clear that that is the value, that they can help somebody actually get that,
when
they really, really, really understand that, that's when it all turns. You realize that the 200 people are in the room because of that promise, the ability that you can solve that problem. And your role then is all of them are clients. I've got to be patient. I've got to help them go through their process, those 27 questions, as you said, get through that process, so that they can get the solution. Mm-hmm.
So basically, the people who are focusing just on the money or on the sales don't have a clarity of their mission and what it is that they're here to do as a business. Because if they were clear, they would see that there was value in those 196 people.
Yeah, they're what we call tactical, right? They go, the value is in the offer. or the value is in the product or the service.
Yeah.
And therefore, only four people found this valuable. So
I'm not important or it's not. Whereas instead of thinking that my mission is X, Y, Z, whether it's to help people do, you know, get that Greek
so
god body or whatever, but that this is my mission. And as a result of this, these are all people that have invested in this mission at some level and I just have to access that.
Yeah, and I've just got to, there's different people in the room, right? There's people that like absolutely know your product can solve their, and they're interested and they're going to buy anyway.
Yeah.
Right? There's probably another 7% that are interested and they're kind of shopping. They're going like, I'm looking for somebody that does exactly what you do, but I'm trying to figure out where best to spend my money. Mm-hmm. There's another 30% that have the problem 100%. They're looking for a solution, have no idea that you're even a solution to that problem.
Right.
Not that they're against it, just have no idea. And then there's another 30% above that that have the problem, have no idea they have the problem.
Oh, yeah.
They just see it as part of life or that's just like one of the things.
Yeah. They don't realize, wow, there's a solution to this.
Or that this is even a problem. Yeah, this isn't normal. Like people can like, you know, there's a part, like there's a part of my life that doesn't have to go deal with this.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's like the people that, you know, you have a kid and you suddenly become tired all the time. You're like, that's it. Like three kids, you're tired all the time. You're like, and then somebody comes along and goes, oh yeah, yeah, probably just vitamin deficient. Have you considered I'm like, what? You know, this isn't normal. Just normal behavior for being a parent. You're not supposed to be tired all the time. Nope. Suddenly I'm aware and I'm like, I've got a problem. I want to go solve it. Mm. You've got to realize that that 200 people that came to you, they're somewhere in that spectrum. And it's your job. If all you're doing is pitching a product, you're talking to the smallest portion of the room and you're failing all the other people that came to you. Right. If you can see that your value is in solving a problem or delivering on a promise or meeting an objective of your client or meeting the needs, the greater needs of your client, then you can better serve everybody else. The real wealth is in how well you serve them. Because as we explained, I think in one of the previous ones, that when you're tactical, that tactic or that offer, that product that you have, at some point will go through a lifeline. At some point, it'll die, decline. The other side never goes away. The other side, that the need for that service, the problem that it solves, that never goes away. You just find better ways to solve the problem. You know, one of the great things about business is to get any business owner excited is when you solve a problem, right? When you solve a problem, things have to change. When you change things, you create new problems. So the problems never go away.
Never.
Right. The product, however, the way in which you solve the problem, that might go away.
It's like technology. It doesn't make things less complex. It actually increases the complexity of things because you think you come up with a solution. Hey, that's going to make this so much easier. It fucking doesn't. It makes it way more difficult.
But technology can be your friend. And there's a lot of people that kind of avoid it or they're like all in technology or they're not.
Yeah.
Technology, there is technology out there that can do a lot of the little things you need to do. Like, for instance, when we're talking about that 196 people that were interested. If you haven't got autoresponders and you don't know what an autoresponder is, you know, you're not taking advantage of technology because now I've got to like physically follow up with 196 people. But I should be mapping out those three sections and have a series of autoresponders that just create those touch points.
I think that what we might do is might leave the techno because that's a whole big rabbit hole, right? And there's a lot of people that are...
There's no point in talking to me about that.
No, there's not. Do you even know how to use a remote?
Me neither.
But what I was thinking is why don't we leave technology and talk about that? Because a lot of... talk about that maybe in the next podcast because a lot of businesses are now having to rely on technology a little bit. Maybe we should just... get a focus on that as a topic next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Summarizing this one, what is the one thing people need to do in terms of understanding the difference between making money and having wealth and long-term and short-term plans?
People actually need to really understand what is the real wealth and what they do. So what is the promise? What is the problem I solve? What is, they've got to see it beyond the product or and the client.
So instead of saying I'm an accountant, it's like, no, what problem do you actually solve for people?
What problem? Do you help them make money? Do you help them, you know, reduce their taxes? Like, what do you really do?
And get clear on that. And when you're clear on that, you get clearer on your mission. Therefore, you're not focused just on the one.
And you see that you're the person or your business or your system is the thing that gets them that result. And therefore, you start to naturally prize the right thing.
Yeah.
I think as well, the clearer you are with the value you bring to the world, and the easier you find it to deliver that value with inspiration. And when you deliver it with inspiration, people want to pay for
100%,
it. So yeah. People will buy it when you're delivering it with inspiration, that it inspires people, and you're clear about what it, how it is of service to others. And you love talking about it because it inspires the shit out of
you. Can I just, like, when you do that, just on that note, that'll really help people understand this. When you say, I'm an accountant, you naturally see other accountants, right? You also naturally see that you're in competition with the other accountants. Mm-hmm. That's why you prize the client, because you see the client is scarce.
Yeah.
Right. And so all of a sudden when a client comes, you're like, oh my God, I got to get this client. Mm-hmm. And because you see yourself the same as everybody else.
Like everyone else.
Whereas when you can really see what you individually, what you uniquely can offer, you now no longer care that you're an accountant and you value yourself over the client.
Yeah.
So really that's the first step. That's what they have to do.
Yeah.
100%. Love it.
Beautiful.
All right. Catch you next time. Enjoy your beer.
If you're looking to bulletproof your business, here at MJB Seminars, we have the tools and strategies to supercharge your profits and stop you from becoming one of the 97% of organizations that fail within their first 10 years.
So you can learn more about this truly unique system by liking and following us at MJB Seminars over on Instagram and Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to Dorothy and the Dealer podcast so you never miss a business episode again.
Registrations for our business course are by application, and you can express your interest by emailing evolve@mjbseminars.com.au.